Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and we've been going through the Psalms here, and we ended up at Psalm 87. That's what I have here, so that must be where we're at. It's been a few days. And I seem to be able to keep busy up until the very moment I go on the air, so much of the time. There's so much to be done. And I'll tell you, when you're working for the Heavenly Father, He sure keeps you busy. Okay, Psalm 87 and verse 1. Let's jump right in the water here. A psalm or song for the sons of Korah. His foundation is in the holy mountains. Yahuwah, the Lord, loveth the gates of Zion, more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this is that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. Yahuwah shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, as well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee. Well, I think I'm going to have to see what our good friend Henry says in his commentary about 87, a fairly short psalm here. Zion is here compared with other places and preferred before them. The Church of Christ is more glorious and excellent than the nations of the earth. It is owned that other places have their glories. I will make mention of Rahab, that is Egypt, and Babylon, to those that know me and are about me, and with whom I discourse about public affairs. Behold, Philistia and Tyre, with Ethiopia, or rather Arabia. We will observe that this man was born there. Here and there, one famous man, eminent for knowledge and virtue, may be produced, that was a native of these countries. Here and there, one that becomes a proselyte and a worshiper of the true God. But some give another sense of it, supposing that it is a prophecy or promise of bringing the Gentiles into the church and of uniting them in one body with the Jews. God says, I will reckon Egypt and Babylon with those that know me, and I will reckon them my people as much as Israel when they shall receive the gospel of Christ and own them as born in Zion, born again there and admitted to the privileges of Zion as freely as a true-born Israelite. Those that were strangers and foreigners became fellow citizens with the saints. And he references Ephesians 2:19 there, where it says, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. A Gentile convert shall stand upon a level with a native Jew. Compare Isaiah 19:23-25, and he continues, the Lord shall say, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. It is proved that the glory of Zion outshines them all upon many accounts. For one, Zion shall produce many great and good men that shall be famous in their generation. Of Zion it shall be said by all her neighbors that this and that man were born in her. Many men of renown for wisdom and piety, and especially for acquaintance with the words of God and the visions of the Almighty. Many prophets and kings who should be greater favorites of heaven and greater blessings to the earth than ever were bred in Egypt or Babylon. The worthies of the church far exceed those of the heathen nations, and their names will shine brighter than in perpetual records. A man was born in her, by which some understand Christ, that man, the Son of Man, who is fairer than the children of men. He was born at Bethlehem near Zion, and was the glory of his people Israel. The greatest honor that was ever put upon the Jewish nation was that of them, as concerning the faith, flesh, Christ came, and he has a reference here to Romans 9:5, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. He continues, or this also may be applied to the conversion of the Gentiles. Of Zion it shall be said that the law which went forth out of Zion, the gospel of Christ, shall be an instrument to beget many souls to God, and the Jerusalem that is from above shall be acknowledged the mother of them all. Zion's interest shall be strengthened and settled by an almighty power. The highest himself shall undertake to establish her. Who can do it effectually? The accession of proselytes out of various nations shall be so far from occasioning discord and division that it shall contribute greatly to Zion's strength. For God himself, having founded her upon an everlasting foundation, whatever convulsions and revolutions there are of states and kingdoms, and however heaven and earth may be shaken, these are things which cannot be shaken, but must remain. Zion's sons shall be registered with honor, and the Lord shall count when he writes up the people and takes a catalog of his subjects, that this man was born there, and so is subject by birth, by the first birth, being born in his house, by the second birth, being born again of his spirit, when God comes to reckon with the children of men, that he may render to every man according to his works. He will observe who was born in Zion and consequently enjoyed the privileges of God's sanctuary, to whom pertained the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the service of God. For to them much was given, and therefore of them much will be required, and the account will be accordingly. 5 talents must be improved by those that were entrusted with 5. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, and where thou was born, Selah. Let those that dwell in Zion mark this, and live up their profession. Zion's song shall be sung with joy and triumph, as well as the singers and the players on instruments shall be there to praise. It was much to the honor of Zion, and is to the honor of the gospel church, that there God served, there God is served and worshipped with rejoicing. His work is done, and done cheerfully. All my springs are in thee, O Zion. So God says, he has deposited treasures of grace in his holy ordinances. They are the springs from which those streams take rise, which make glad the city of our God. So the psalmist says, reckoning the springs from which his dry soul must be watered, to lie in the sanctuary, in the word and ordinance, and in the communion of saints. The springs of the joy of a carnal worldling lie in wealth and pleasure, but the springs of the joy of a gracious, and that means thankful, grateful, gracious soul lie in the word of God and prayer. Christ is the true temple. All our springs are in him, and from him all our streams flow. It pleased the Father, and all believers are well pleased too, with it too, that in him should all fullness dwell. And wow, that's all I can say about what our good friend Henry, that is Matthew Henry, says in his commentary on these short 7 verses, far exceeds the 7 verses, but really sheds a tremendous amount of light on it. If I had that kind of insight, I'm so glad that I have this tool at my fingertips. You know, I don't have something that no one else, that none of you can have out there, except for my individual relationship with my Creator, but we all of you, everyone listening to my voice and everyone on the whole planet, he makes that offer of adoption. And by the shedding of his blood, we can enter in and have that relationship with him. And from reading Matthew Henry's commentary, I can see that he had that relationship with him also. but the invitation is there for all men everywhere. And we have this wonderful tool. And if you have the time, and I know that many don't because you're out there laboring hard to feed your families and faithfully doing that. And if you're listening to this broadcast by podcast or you're able to listen on the internet while you're working, I know when I used to work in construction, which I did for many years, that I always had a radio there. And, it was always a war when I worked on job sites with other men, because most men are worldly. That's a given. And even though, there was a good group of Christian men that I worked with on several occasions for many years, still it was a war over who got to control the radio station. And the music of idolatry usually won out when you got into a situation where you're working with a group of men on a construction site. So you get to listen to the idolatry of romance music all day long. Well, I would kind of twist those words around. If they were love songs, then they would become love songs for my Messiah. And some of the songs were so awful, there's nothing you can do with them. But it's much worse today from what I hear with all the rap and garbage that's out there today. But anyway, if I controlled the radio, it was always biblical teaching. I'd always have the whatever Bible teaching there was available through the Bible and whatever the best teaching I could find, which really, you know, when I think about it, it was, it was the Word of God. And that's what I was after. And even the worst preachers have the Word of God. It reminds me of what Yahshua said when he said, do as they say, but not as they do. And of course, he was talking about the scribes, the Pharisees, and the hypocrites. And things were such in his time that everyone could not have a Bible in their own possession. That was a rare and very valuable thing, something that was very, very expensive to have your own written Bible, or even one or several books of the Bible to have them written, because someone actually had to write them out by hand at that time, and they were written on a scroll. And of course, they didn't have books like we have books today. And that's why Yahshua said that. You know, if you take what he said, you take it back to the time and the place, the context, the time context that he was in. And he said, do as they say, but not as they do. Because he called them all hypocrites. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. He was talking about their hypocrisy. He said, they lead you up to the kingdom, but they don't suffer you to enter because they don't go in themselves. And that's why he said, do as they say, but not as they do. So what he was saying, you know, make a difference between the word. When they read the word, you hear the word. And you know, the Heavenly Father can work through the worst ministers, through the twisting of his word, but his word can still be heard. And many people are saved, even though some of them, they really never get that meat, but they really do get that full communion with the Creator. They experience that adoption, and then they start reading the word for themselves, but still listening to their preachers and stuff and following these men who are their pastors and teachers. And, you know, our Heavenly Father, he respects that because he judges the heart of man, and he knows whether the heart is truly after him or not. But we have a wonderful tool now. It isn't like it was in the days of the Messiah. You can own your own copy of the scripture, and you can get good teaching. You can listen to this Bible program, for instance, and, you know, take everything with a grain of salt if you have to. But, you know, go back if you question anything that I'm saying, anything I'm comparing with, you know, get that Bible and open it up yourself. Get it on your computer, the eSort, and you can look at, like I just read from Henry's commentary, and just a wonderful commentary on a few short verses that just really opened it up. I mean, I read that seven verses, and I have a wealth of experience at my fingertips to open up things that seem somewhat hidden. We can look into the Textus Receptus, because that's what we have with the Strong's Greek and Hebrew. We can look into the original language. You don't need to be a Greek scholar. You just don't need it. We don't have to trust in men with degrees. Going to seminary, I think, may be more of a detrimental to trust in men that went to seminary and have been brainwashed by the Jesuit-influenced curriculum that they teach in most of these seminaries. I think that may be detrimental. I think it may be hard for a lot of men to break away from that knowledge or that badge that they wear. And I could compare it to some of the education that I've had. You know, I studied real estate law, and then I took courses to get a real estate license, and which entitled me to go out and get a license and for privileges, to become part of a privileged class. And I'm just telling you this to draw an illustration. But what I learned, unlike most of the people in my class, they were there to get a license so they could get the privilege and earn the money. But what I learned, because my education went beyond the class, I studied on my own. I dug into the law books and I read the real estate law and I learned how to do my own escrow work, if you understand what all that means. So, I mean, I really got deep into real estate law where all of the other students were there just to get the license so they could get, the privilege and get the job and earn the money that the privilege, that license would get them. But what I learned was that I didn't want a license. That's what I took away from the licensing class, because all I saw was if I got the license, I would be taking on my shoulders the burden of another governor, of another government, restricting what I could do. So I learned that, yes, I took the knowledge and I kept the knowledge, but I did not want the license because I felt it restricted me, that I was freer to do what I want to do without it. And that's what I took away from it. Now, if someone can go to seminary and take that and go away with that, you know, apply that same type of understanding, then you could come away with something. But is that what most people come away with? No, they come away with the privilege. Now I can take this degree and I can go and get into the profession, into the career of being a minister and working in ministry in the corporate church. And then, of course, then they apply that learning. And with the real estate license, you know, if you get the license, you apply the learning to the profession and the career. But what I did was I took the learning and I said, well, I've learned that I don't want to do that. And I went beyond and I used the knowledge for myself to work as a free man in society. And I believe that it's better to not be brainwashed and to just study on your own. I think a man who really applies himself to the scripture and spends the time in it can come away. I mean, really digs deep, reads other commentaries, and I think you can come away with a lot more. I think a lot of people are impeded by their degrees. They become puffed up because now they can put letters after their name and say, I have this degree and I am this authority now and I know more than other people. It was as an illustration, I was listening to another program and the man had written a book 30 years ago and he used some terminology in the book that was, you know, that today all I've discovered is absolutely Catholic. It is absolutely Jesuit influenced terminology. And basically, so I pointed this out to him. But he said, and he was on a different show where I wasn't. Later on, he came on the show and he said, and I brought up the objection in the chat room to his terminology, pointing out that it is patently Catholic and we shouldn't be using it. We should be using a more biblically grounded terminology. And he said, well, you know, the thing is, and he finally got down to his defense was, well, I wrote this book 30 years ago and I'm not going to change it just because one person doesn't like the word. And a few sentences after that, the host said, well, I'm going to believe the one who has the degree and who has studied Greek and Hebrew. Of course, referring to the guy who just made that statement. It didn't matter whether he was right or wrong. It was that he had so much pride that he did not want to change his mind. And the host upheld him because of the degrees that he had. Well, he must be right. We're not going to go with the truth because this guy has degrees. And so you can become puffed up with degrees, and many people are impressed with degrees. Let us be impressed with the truth. We're moving on here now to Psalm 88. Let's do it. Psalm 88, a song or psalm for the sons of Korah, to the chief musician upon Mahalath, Lianath, Maskil of Herman, the Ezrahite. O Lord, and it's his name there, yes, Yahuwah, God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear to my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. And here we go into a break. Why don't we pick this up on the other side? You're listening to Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org. You'll find an email link there to email me. I wouldn't mind hearing from those that are listening to this program, comments, just a hi, hello, and anything else, challenges, it doesn't matter. We'll be back in a few minutes.